Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Welcome to Morning Shot. I'm Ahmad Akhtar. In South Korea's recent assembly election, the opposition won hands down, but President Yoon Suk-yeol's battle is just beginning. Yoon is facing mounting pressure to reassess his approach to governing and managing state affairs after a decisive defeat of the ruling People Power Party at the elections, which underscored widespread public dissatisfaction with his job performance. In response, President Yoon said that he will accept the election result and make an effort for reform while his aides offered to resign. The elections were widely regarded as a midterm assessment of the Yoon administration, with the president left with 3 years to lead the Republic of Korea with an opposition that is determined more than ever to hinder his legislative initiatives. For more insights, we're joined by Dr. Ryu Yong-wook, assistant professor from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy at NUS. Dr. Ryu, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Great to have you on to talk about the political developments in the Republic of Korea. Now, given that President Yoon's last 2 years at the helm have been marked by gridlock in the opposition-controlled parliament, critics noting that Yoon is a political novice who spent decades as a prosecutor before winning the presidency. Was that, in your opinion, crushing defeat in the country's parliamentary elections expected? And what exactly went wrong?
So it was a devastating electoral defeat for the president's ruling party, with his party winning only 108 seats out of total 300. Mm. The election was taken, as you said, a midterm test for Yoon's presidency. And hence, the crushing defeat means that the public disapproves the way President Yoon has run the country in the last 2 years. So the result would also likely to turn the president into a lame duck for the remainder of his presidency. Now, what's that outcome expected? I think President Yoon had been a rather unpopular president, with his popularity rating hovering between low 30s and low 40s in the last 2 years. So it was always going to be a tough fight for the ruling party. Mm. And in addition, as you may know, leading up to the General Assembly election, there was the medical doctors strike out against the government.
That's right.
So, yeah, so what that means is that the President Yoon has been increasingly isolating the traditional conservative voters, such as the medical doctors, right before the election, and made it more difficult for his party to win the election.
Yeah, his growing unpopularity, as you rightly mentioned, is perhaps the reason why the voter turnout reached 67%, which was the highest in 32 years for a parliamentary election. Was that surprising for you?
Somewhat. You know, given that the voter turnout rate for the presidential election 2 years ago was also very high at 77%. So in some sense, right, some people may have expected the voter turnout for this National Assembly election was not, at least not going to be so low. But as the campaign became heated up, both conservative and progressive voters got mobilized towards the end of the campaign to go to the polling booth to cast their votes. Mm. It looks like, based on the result, looks like the progressive voters were more mobilized to turn up to cast their votes to punish the president's last 2 years. And in any case, you know, for a healthy democracy, a high turnout rate is always very important.
Yeah, it is indeed. I'm just curious, what was the demographic of this turnout? The makeup of the 67%, more young, more old, the male-female dynamic?
I think in terms of race, gender ratio, it's pretty balanced. Mm. As usual, you know, the older voters' turnout rate tends to be higher than the younger voters, and that was also true in this case. And then the older voters tend to support the conservative party rather than the progressive party. So in other words, they support the ruling party rather than the opposition party. Mm. But I think the usual swing voters this time heavily leaned towards the opposition party. So that's what made the difference in terms of the outcome.
Okay. President Yoon has said that he will humbly listen to the voice of the people, but hinted that he won't change his policies. How would you assess his way of governing? And is that potentially going to make the rest of his already tough 5-year term even more challenging?
Yeah, so President and his office must think hard about changing his policies in a fundamental way, as the election result clearly demonstrated that the Korean public does not agree with the president. I think it's still too early to say whether or not the president will or will not change his policies. But if he does not, he will face a mounting list of challenges, not only from the opposition party, but also from within his own ruling party. So there is already a number of elected members within his own ruling party who have publicly stated that they would support certain legislative efforts that the president had vetoed in the past or rejected before. So I don't think the president has any option but to change the direction of his policy, the way he conducts his politics in the future, because a mere 8 defectors from his ruling party will give the opposition a 2/3 majority in the legislature, and that's an enough number to start an impeachment process, something that some of the opposition members are considering.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's going to have to make some compromise, which he has made really little effort to do with his opponents. He wants to push through what he characterizes as pro-market labor, pension, and education reform. So let's hone in on those issues for the moment. How significant are they to the electorate, and how challenging would it be for President Yoon to turn things around for the remaining term?
You know, I think some of these specific issues are very important for those sectors of South Korea that are directly affected by those legislative efforts. But as I said, I think the president now, cannot really think about pushing these legislation through the legislature because the opposition is in firm control of the National Assembly. So he has to strike compromise with the opposition party. And without the cooperation from the opposition party, he just cannot get them through the legislature. Now, one area where the president does not need the opposition's cooperation is foreign policy, because it belongs to the executive branch's power. So his focus may shift to be more fixated on foreign policy in the future. But even that, I think, will come under greater scrutiny from the opposition. And as a result, what president can do without the opposition's cooperation is going to be extremely limited. And therefore, the only option for him is to seek compromise and find ways to cooperate with the opposition.
Okay, let's now talk about President Yoon's style of communication. He has been criticized for it because he has only made remarks or tends to make remarks through official statements or at cabinet meetings without taking questions from the media. This has shades of Prime Minister Narendra Modi in India, who has not addressed a single press conference in India since becoming Prime Minister almost 10 years ago. Now, in the context of South Korea, how important is the ability to face the media amid other issues?
Yeah, in any politics, particularly in democracies, I think it's important for the leader to engage with the public and communicate openly with the public, especially when things are not going well for the president. I think, in the early days of Yoon's presidency, he was actually quite open and engaging with the public, through the media. But that all stopped more or less about the time when various allegations involving his wife and his administration began to surface. So when, his popularity started going down, when the administration went into some political trouble, that's when he cut by communicating with the public. So, so it looked like as if the president was avoiding the public and the difficult situations involving his own wife and his administration because he did not want to deal with those issues. And all of those things just didn't go down very well with the public.
All right. Well, on the immediate horizon for the president is an expected cabinet reshuffle, including for the posts of prime minister and chief of the presidential secretariat. This is to accommodate the opposition's calls to diversify what they say is his prosecutor-heavy team of government ministers. How crucial of an indicator would his selection of aides be in showing the electorate that their voices have been heard?
You know, it'll be the first of several indicators that the opposition and the public will look at to assess if the president is changing or not. But it's not going to be easy, right, for the president, because since, you know, he will likely become a lame duck, right, from now on, he will be hard-pressed to find willing people to work with his administration for the remainder of his presidency. There are already rumors that he, you know, he has approached certain people, but they've all turned the offer down. And if his close political allies become part of his new cabinet, the public and the opposition will interpret it in the way that the president does not care about the public voices and the election outcome, and therefore the opposition will not accept it and only intensify political struggles with the president in the future. So all that entails more political struggles and fight between the ruling party and the president and the opposition party in a time when the South Korean economy is not performing very well, in a time when people's lives are becoming more struggling with the with high inflation, in a time when the external environment for South Korea is deteriorating.
Yeah, it seems like the president is in a bit of a hot soup and has plenty to do to appease the opposition. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Ryu.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Ryu Yong-wook, assistant professor from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy at NUS. Stay with us here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.